isn't it great to be in church again tonight? I know you enjoyed all the good singing. Always a joy to be with the Hollis family. Appreciate them. And then appreciate our great solo tonight. Let's don't forget what a good job our brother did there playing the guitar and singing. And so good to see all of you here. And we welcome all of you online. And realize there's a lot of folks listening and watching from other places. And we're so glad you're here. We had a wonderful day yesterday. My. We just give God all the glory because we know if there's anything, if there's anything of eternal value that comes out of this meeting, it'll be by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. It's not me. It's not your pastor. It's not all of us. It's Him that gets the job done. I want you to turn your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37, Psalms chapter 37. And just a little ways past that, I want you to look in Song of Solomon in chapter number 2. Psalms chapter 37, and also in Song of Solomon chapter number 2. And I'll read a few verses here, beginning in Psalm 37 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." If you'll keep your place there, we'll spend most of our time in Psalm 37. But I want to read one verse here in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and in verse number 14. Look what the Bible says. "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Let us pray." Father, we're so thankful that you've allowed us once again to be in the house of the Lord. We've been blessed by the good singing, the congregation numbers, the solo, our special group tonight. Lord, it's just been good to be here. But now we've opened the book and we sure do need your help. Lord, tonight we know without you we can do nothing. Help us here a little while tonight. Pull our attention to the truth that you want spoken. And all that's accomplished will give you the praise and glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. As I begin reading tonight in Psalm 37 and in verse number 23, how many of you are somewhat familiar with that verse? It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Well, that's a wonderful verse. But let me tell you how we normally interpret that verse. The steps of a good man. We believe that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if the Lord says turn right, we turn right. Because the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. If the Lord should say turn left, then we're to turn left. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You see, this idea of steps, I want you to look at that word steps. I never saw it till some time ago. The word steps there is not just onward. It's not just directional, right or left or forward. But the word steps there is not just onward, but it's upward. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word steps there is much like the idea of stairs. that is going upward in another level. Now, I'm only three steps up tonight, and it's not that hard to get up here. But just think, if we didn't have any steps, that little distance would be quite a challenge if there was no steps, if there was no stairs. I'm convinced tonight that God wants to take His church to another level. I'm convinced that God wants us to go forward, but He also wants us to go upward. Where I was a pastor at for a long time in Kernersville, North Carolina, my office was in the basement. I come in the back and I walked right down the hall to my office for many years. And I remember when I'd come out of the office, I'd make a quick left, and then there was a staircase. And I've counted those steps many times, 17 steps to get to the top level of the church where our auditorium was. I remember one day I was making that turn, getting ready to scale those 17 steps, and the Holy Ghost stopped me and said, "What if you didn't have these steps? What if all you had was just a hole? And you were looking up through that hole at the people up on the next level. And you're looking at that hole, and there's no way now to get to that level." You see, something as simple as a staircase makes the inaccessible accessible. And because I took the stairs, I was able to get to another level. Tonight, I want to try to preach on something that we don't like in the physical, and I hope we like in the spiritual. We've all heard the doctor say from time to time, quit using the elevator, quit using the escalator, and take the stairs. Tonight, I want to preach a few minutes on take the stairs. I'm convinced that the average Christian is living in the basement level of the Christian life. It's time we come out of the basement, take the stairs, get to the level that God would have us be. Aren't you tired of the mildew and the mold of the basement and the cobwebs of the basement? Let's get out of that basement tonight and let's determine that God has ordered stairs. He's ordered steps to take us where we need to be. Now, I'm not a builder, but I do know this. You don't call Lowe's Hardware or Home Depot and order a staircase. You see, a staircase has got to be specifically designed to meet the need at hand. Going back to my church, my old church, I told you there were 17 steps. What if there were 16? I'd make it okay, Brother Hollis, but when I'd get to the top, I'd have a problem. I'd have a struggle. Well, what if it was 18? I would overshoot. I'd be too high. So whoever built that building design those stairs to get the person to where they needed to be from the basement level to the next level. God tonight has a special staircase, and it's got your name on it. It's by His orders. He's the architect, and God knows where He wants to take you. And God knows where He wants to take me. Tonight, for a little bit, I want to offer to you a 100% guarantee of what will happen if we take the stairs. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, there's some things will happen according to the Bible if we'll take the steps, the staircase that God has architected, that God has ordered
for our lives. Would you look back in verse 23? It'll look a little different now. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I want you to notice first in verse number 23 that if you and I will take the stairs that God has ordered, he's the architect. He knows where he wants to take us. He knows exactly where we need to be. But notice the first thing you see when you take the stairs. You see, the old devil says you'll be miserable serving God. If you go all the way for God, you'll be miserable and you'll be a loser and your life will be worthless. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if we'll take the steps that God Almighty ordered, look what it says, that he delighteth in his way. You know, the first thing you'll find if you'll take the stairs, you'll find the happiness of God. You see, the Bible said that man that takes the stairs, he's not miserable. He's not sad. He's not depressed, but he's happy in the Lord. I don't need nobody's sympathy tonight. I don't need nobody's pity. I want you to know I have no sad stories to bring, because I'm here to tell you that I'm happy in the way. I'm happy that the Lord has brought me this far. I'm glad for that day that I determined I'm coming out of this basement. I'm getting away from these cobwebs. I'm getting away from this mold and mildew. God's got me a staircase to climb, and I'm a coming out by the grace of God, and I have found the happiness of God. Are you happy tonight? We ought to be the happiest people in the world. But traveling this country, preaching in 90 churches a year, the most miserable people I meet are not at Walmart, not at a restaurant, not at the drugstore, not at the convenience store. But I'm really sad to tell you, the most miserable people I meet are over at the house of God. Now, friend, if we're miserable and we have no joy and we have no happiness, something's wrong. I believe that if we will take the steps, take the God-architected steps that he has for our lives, we'll find the happiness of God. Well, I'm a country boy. I grew up in the country. I grew up in a holler. Who knows what a holler is? Now, when I preach in New York, I have to explain this stuff. They don't know what a holler is. Well, it's a valley. I grew up by a branch in a little community that you can't find with a Google map. A good place to hide from the FBI. Amen. A place called Brown Mountain, North Carolina. Well, that's where I was raised. And you know where God brought me from. You'd think, how in the world could God ever find a little freckle-faced boy down in a holler by a branch? But God found me, and I'm so glad that he did. Well, us being a country family, we did something that all country families did on Saturday night. It was almost a religious thing. We watched a country comedy on TV called Hee Haw. You know, I can say Hee Haw and get more response. How many of you know what Hee Haw is? Y'all look like a bunch of Hee Haw kind of people. Well, I remember as a boy sitting there with mom and dad growing up in the country, in the holler by the branch, and watching Hee Haw on TV on Saturday night. Well, they always had a variety of things, but this was something they did every Saturday night. they had a quartet come out there and they sang this song. And here's the lyrics, Brad. It says, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I appreciate my sound effects in the back. Well, I'm here to tell you, I was just a boy, and I thought when I get to church Sunday, I'm gonna get the hymn book and see if I can find that song. Amen, because sure enough, as a boy watching people come in church, most of them look like gloom, despair, and agony on me. But how many of you know tonight, when you take the stairs, it's not gloom, it's not despair, it's not agony on me, but thanks be to God, you can delight and enjoy the trip. I enjoy what I do. Everything God's called on me to do, every step He's called on me to take, I'm so thankful that God has given me a delight and happiness in the way. It's time to quit being miserable. It's time to stop coming in with our lip dragging the ground. Some people, don't ask them how they're doing. My, if you're not depressed, you will be depressed after listening to all that. Brother, when someone asks us how we are, just tell them I took the stairs. I found the happiness of God. I'm not sad about this thing. I'm happy about serving the Lord. Can you say amen? Well, let's look on. I'll preach all night on Hee-Haw in verse number 23. But look in verse 24, back in Psalm 37. Though he fall. Now, I don't want to lose you there. If I have to fall, Lord, let me fall on soft. If I got to fall, Lord, let me fall on flat. Lord, I don't want to fall on stairs. How many of you say amen there? Though he fall. But the Bible doesn't say you could possibly fall. The Bible doesn't say that on this staircase you might fall. Look, it's clear, though we fall. God said if you take the stairs, there's going to be times you'll stumble. There'll be times you'll fall. Now some of you bailing out. Don't bail out yet. I'm not done. Though we fall. Look what it says. Whoop, he shall not be utterly cast down. You know what breaks bones in a stairway fall? You know what has broken many people's neck on a stairway fall? It's that tumbling. The Bible terms are being utterly cast down. That tumbling and falling, that's what breaks bones. That tumbling and falling, that's what has even cost people their lives on a staircase. But I love this verse. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. How can that be? It looks like gravity would be in control. But I'm glad that God defies gravity when we take the stairs. Do you see it? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Do you know something tonight? You and I may as well just admit it. We have stumbled. We have fallen. And the only reason that we didn't destroy our lives being utterly cast to the ground, it's because of the hand of God. The Bible says, whoop, if you'll take the stairs, you'll find God's happiness and you'll also find God's hand. It's not bad falling and stumbling when you got the hand of God. Back yonder when I was pastoring, I remember a sweet little two-year-old girl in our congregation at that time, and her papa on both sides of her family was dead. She had no papa. She had a healthy mom and dad, but no papa. And for some reason, she started calling me papa. Now, we're not related, but she started calling me papa. And I told her parents, I said, I didn't encourage that, but if y'all don't mind it, don't bother me. If I can be a papa influence to a two-year-old girl, I want to do my best for God. Of course, they said yes, and she's a big girl now. She's 7, 8 years old now and still calls me papa when she sees me. Well, I'd get done preaching on a Sunday morning, and I'd be talking to first-time visitors and doing things a pastor does. And all at once, I wouldn't be watching, but two little arms would come around my leg, and I'd look down, she'd look up, and she'd say, Papa. And I'd say, hey, honey, Papa's busy right now, but you hang on a minute. You see, she wants to go to Papa's office. You know, I never had nobody want to go to the office with me, but she loved Papa's office. And you see, there was something in Papa's office that she probably loved better than Papa, and it was in the drawer, and it was called gummy bears. And she wanted to go to Papa's office. Well, when I finally got done with all my responsibilities, I said, come on, honey, let's go. Now, don't forget, there's 17 steps to get from the top to my office. How many of you know a two-year-old toddler and 17 steps is not a good combination? Imagine me and a two-year-old girl standing here. Well, she's learned something, Sister Regina. She'll throw up that little hand. And you know what? She'll grab Papa's hand. Well, there's a little strength in that. There's a little bit of strength in that. But how many of you know the strength of a two-year-old is not sufficient for 17 steps? But what matters is when Papa puts on the clinch. And here we go. Whoop, are y'all with me? Here we go down those steps. She has no fear. Papa has got her by the hand. Well, she's only two. We don't go but a couple of steps, and she falls. Oh my, but she's okay, cause Papa has got her by the hand. Papa just pulls her back. We make two or three more steps. Oops, she's fallen again. But don't get nervous. She's okay. Papa's got her by the hand. If you can see her out there swinging, she's starting to think falling is fun. Amen. And I just kept pulling her back. I don't know how you feel about your life tonight, but I know I've stumbled, and I know my grip is weak, but it's not my grip, it's His grip, and I have found the hand of God. The devil will tell you, don't you follow this preaching, you'll fall. Just agree with him. Yeah, I know I will, but he won't let me hit the bottom because of His hand. You know, there is an unseen hand. Oh, thanks be unto God. When Juanita and I were just newlyweds, we worked a night shift before I was ever called to preach. And back then, there was a strong FM radio station in our area. I believe it was WWMO out of Reidsville, North Carolina. And back then, Brother Cashwell, there was a gospel group, Black Quartet, that were really powerful back in those days. We never saw them. We didn't have YouTube. We didn't know how they looked. But them old boys could sing. And they made a song, a top chart song, and it said this, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And friend, I remember listening to that quartet, Charles Johnson and the Revivers. And oh, glad day when finally YouTube let me see what they looked like. And man, they were sharp. They looked like they stepped out of a catalog. Man, they had on lavender suits, lavender shoes, white shirts, and lavender ties. How many of you believe we need to get to pastor a suit like that? Say amen. Now I'm telling you, them old boys were sharp. I'm telling you, they were singing that song. Me and Juanita were just newlyweds. I mean, taking the stairs, and we'd hear those words. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Well, I'm not newlywed with Juanita anymore. We're 40 years in marriage, but it's still the hand of God that's holding us tight. My grip is very weak, but His grip is very strong. I can't even walk without that unseen, holy hand of God. I don't know about y'all, but the stairs are looking better all the time. I found happiness. I found a hand, the hand of God. But boy, I love verse 25. When I read 25 a while ago, I could sense you were very familiar with this verse. But look what it says. It says, I have been young and now I'm old. Now what David is saying is I have made a life observation. I started watching something when I was young and now I'm old. Now look what he was watching and look what he determined. He said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If you'll take the stairs tonight, say, I'm done with this basement business. I'm going where God wants me to be. I'm getting in the will of God. I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm getting away from this dead stuff. I promise you'll find the happiness of God, the hand of God. But I love verse 25. You'll find the heart of God. Nobody has ever taken the stairs that God didn't take care of them and meet and supply their each and every need. Friends, I could tell you stories. Some would make you laugh. Some would make you cry of how God has took care of us down through these years. We've never done without. We've always had what we needed because we got on this staircase the very, very heart of God. I could share so many experiences with you, but let me give you this old, old experience back when we were young. In our part of the country, when we first got married, there was a flaming preacher that came through our part of the country from Resaca, Georgia, holding revivals, and his name, Sammy Allen. My mama invited me to go hear Brother Sammy, and I remember going to hear him for the first time. Never heard nothing like it. Never experienced anything like it. He became one of my top mentors as a young preacher. He's in heaven now, and I praise God for those memories. But I know Brother Cashwell knew him, and he would always talk about Faith Baptist Camp, how that you need to come spend a week at Faith Baptist Camp. Well, we looked on a map. That was 400 miles from where we lived, and I wanted to go so bad, but we couldn't afford a trip like that. But we just dreamed about someday getting to go to Faith Baptist Camp. Well, a saint of God who's in heaven also now came up to me one day and said, you know, I believe you and Juanita would benefit from going to Faith Baptist Camp. I said, yeah, we're going to go someday. And that saint of God said, no, you're going next time because I'm going to pay the way for your gas and your motel and your food And I'll never forget, that was something really, really special to us in those days. Well, back then, I didn't have much of a car. Some of you were picking on my Dodge. You should have saw my Chevette. Amen. Now, if you don't know what a Chevette is, just study the plagues that came out of Egypt, and you'll see a Chevette in the mix. Well, I had an old stick shift Chevette. Juanita said, "Don, you know that old Chevette won't make it 400 miles. I said, "Oh, baby, we're doing the Lord's work. Don't you worry. He'll make a way with this old Chevette." Well, while we're planning and preparing for the trip, some of you folks know what a flywheel is. Well, I lost some teeth, Brother LaVon, out of the flywheel. And you see, that flywheel allows the starter to engage and turn over the engine. And when you lose teeth out of the flywheel and you hit a switch, it goes zoo, but it don't connect. And Juanita said, "Don, now the Chevette's worse. We won't be able to make it." Now, I'm a country boy. You don't need a starter when you're a country boy and you got a stick shift. You just back it up on the hill. I said, "Mama," I said, "Babe, when we get there, I'll just back it up on the hill. Everything will be all right." Now, see, I'd never been to Georgia, and I didn't know there weren't no hills in Georgia. And I'll never forget pulling in that little motel parking lot. I ain't saying nothing, but I'm looking for a hill. And before I can speak, Juanita speaks up and says, "Don, I don't see no hill." I said, "Well, baby, don't you worry. We're doing the Lord's work." You know, one out of 1,000 times them gears will connect. And while we're here and don't have no hill, he'll let them connect. You'll see. So we parked. I backed in a space and we went and got ready. We came out of our motel room dressed for church. We saw preachers getting in Lincolns and Cadillacs. And here we go getting in our old rickety Chevette. And we was just happy as they was. We got in that old Chevette, preacher. And I said, "Watch this, baby. I'm telling you, I am pumped." I said, "Watch this. God will let it start." And when I hit that switch, zoo! And you talking about getting deflated quick. I'm just waiting for her to lay it on me. And before she can say, "Don," something hit us in the rear end. And I thought, oh my, the Chevette won't even start. And now somebody's hit us in the rear end. My wife looks over at me. She's about fed up. And she said, "Don, you better get out and go see what's hit us." I looked up in the rear view mirror. Never saw nothing like this in my life. But it was not a vehicle that hit us. There was a woman back there that just come out of the swimming pool. She had on a bikini that wouldn't have been enough material to wad a 410 shotgun. Both hands on my hatch, I'm looking in the rearview mirror and see that behind me. Juanita said, go see what it is. I said, "Juanita, you need to look in the mirror." I said, "You really need to look. They didn't cover this in Bible college. I don't know what I'm supposed to do." And when Juanita looked in that mirror and saw that big Amazon woman back there nearly naked, hands on our hatch, she said, "Oh, Don." Well, about that time, the big gal with her hands on my hatch spoke. Here's what she said, Brad. She said, "Hey, Rev." And I looked at Juanita. I said, "She's talking to us." I said, she said, "She ain't talking to me. I'm not the Rev. You remember, this is the Lord's work, right?" Boy, she's laying it on. And I, with a squeaky voice, spoke to that big gal. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Rev, I saw them preachers. I was in the pool. They was getting in them fine cars and Cadillacs and Lincolns. And I saw y'all back in, and I could tell you had a stick shift. And I saw that you wasn't getting started. So, Rev, what I want you to do is turn the key on. Turn the switch on, drop it in second, and hold the clutch. And when I tell you, drop the clutch. Well, can you imagine Don Anderson going across a parking lot in a Chevette, half-naked woman on my rear back here, pushing us across the parking lot? Let me stop and praise the Lord that there was no YouTube, no Facebook Live. Thank God there was no videos back then. Man, that would have went viral. I would have never lived that down. Well, we got up some speed. You can imagine her pushing us. Hey, Rev, drop the clutch. I dropped the clutch. That old Chevette sputtered and spit and smoked, and then it fired up. And it was running, and we looked at that gal, and she looked at us, and we waved at her, and she waved at us. Never saw her again. But you know, if it takes a half-naked woman, what if God can meet your need? I'm here to tell you, friend, sometimes we're too picky about how we get our needs met. I didn't have no heel, but I had an Amazon woman. And she pushed us and got us started. Well, I know that's kind of funny, but it's so true. I've been in places and situations where there was just no answer to it, but God can take care of His people. You know, you'll get His heart. He's not going to let you do without. You're not going to starve on the stairs. You're not going to do without on the stairs. And if you need a push, you'll get them on the stairs. But in closing tonight, would you look over in Song of Solomon now, chapter 2. I read it to you earlier. And if you missed everything, please don't miss this. Look with me in verse number 14. Again, in Song of Solomon, chapter 2. While you're getting your place, we've learned if you'll take the stairs, you'll find the happiness of God. You'll find the hand of God. You'll find the heart of God. But my, don't miss verse 14. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Look at that statement, how that's written, how that's worded. The secret places of the stairs. Do you know something tonight? If we'll make up our minds, we're going to quit listening to the world, quit listening to the devil, quit listening to our old rotten flesh, and go ahead and take the stairs that God ordered, guess what? You'll find the hidden things of God. There'll be things that you don't even know exist that you'll find if you'll take the steps that God has ordered. A good friend of mine, a pastor friend of many years, he's an architect, he's a builder, contractor, and he built, him and his wife, a beautiful house. I'm talking about first class all the way. And when he got that house built, he invited me to come and see it because he knew me. He knew I wouldn't be jealous. Whoop, there's another sermon. But he knew I would rejoice with him. And by the way, we ought to rejoice when our brother gets a blessing. Well, he was giving me a tour, Brother Billy, and we was going room to room, Brother Eric, and man, detailed design, arc. I'm talking about first class. And as we were going around looking at all the rooms, we came by this door. I thought it was a broom closet or something or a pantry because he didn't open it and we just kept on going. When we finally made the circle around the house, he said, "Preacher, what do you think?" I said, "Brother, I'm so happy for you." Tears were in my eyes. I was so happy that this faithful man of God had been blessed with such a nice house. I said, "Brother, let's pray over this and ask God to bless it." And he said, "Well, wait a minute, we're not done." I said, what else could it be?" He said, "You remember that door?" I said, "Yeah, I just supposed it was a broom closet or something." He said, "Oh no, come on." And we got over to that door. Brother Hollis, he said, "Open that door." And some of you's ahead of me, guess what was there?
a staircase. And I looked at that staircase and I looked up at the top and there was another door. So all I could see was the stairs. And he said, "Hey, brother, take off up them stairs. I'm right beside you." Sounds like the Lord, don't it? So here I go up those stairs, not even having a clue what's up there. And we got to that level, and he said, "Go ahead, preacher, open that door." And when he opened that door, there was a whole nother level. More architecture, more detail, more design. I believe the top level was more beautiful than the bottom. And you know something tonight? Some of you's ahead of me, and some of you's really quiet. And you know why? Because if we don't take the stairs, we're going to miss out on some hidden things that we didn't even know existed. I didn't know there was another level, but when I took the stairs, look what I found. As I was preparing this sermon, the Lord knows how to providentially bring things around. And a guy came up to me, he didn't know I was studying this, with a sincere question. I don't mind a sincere question, but I hate a smart aleck. Say amen. Well, this guy had a sincere question and a good question. Here was his question, Miss Regina. He asked, "Preacher, what do you think the worst thing there is that could happen to a child of God?" Now, that's a good question. Now, we that believe in the security of the believer, we know you can't go to hell if you've been converted. Is that right? We believe in eternal salvation. So it's not, can't be going to hell because we can't go. But he said, "What is the worst thing?" I just happened to be studying this. And I said, "Sir, this is my opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. I believe the worst thing that could happen to a child of God is to get to heaven, get to the throne, and then God open a door and show you a staircase that you never climbed and show you all those hidden blessings that you never achieved because you never took the stairs." He said, "I believe that's the right answer." Church, how many of you believe that's the right answer? Wouldn't it be sad? Stand before God. God show you everything you could have been, everything you could have accomplished, every blessing you could have retrieved if you would have only taken the stairs. Back in Psalm 37, I want to read that little verse again where the Bible says in verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." God loves you so much. He not only saved you, but He's provided you a special staircase to take you to another level. I wonder how many of us tonight would say, "Preacher, I'm taking the stairs. I'm going with God. I'm going to tell this old world I'm not letting them hold me back. I'm going not only onward, but upward for the glory of God." As we stand tonight all over the house, heads bowed. Brother Hollis, can you help me with some music again? However y'all see fit to do it. But I wonder, as heads are bowed tonight, really, I shouldn't have to give much of an invitation, but I wonder how many would like to just fall in around this altar and say, "Preacher, the sermon was for me. I really need to take the stairs. I want to get to the level that God wants me to be at." Folks are coming. Folks are moving. I'm not preaching tonight to that hit and miss hanging by a thread crowd. I'm preaching to the faithful crowd that just needs to bump another level. I'm not ashamed to tell you this about me. I never start a new year that I don't ask God to help me get to another level. I had to go through great sickness in 2020. It almost cost my life. And I didn't enjoy it, a lot of that. 84 days in the hospital, 30 days home health. But God used all that to take this little freckle-faced boy who grew up in a holler to take me to another level. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. Woo! In going with God. If it makes you feel less of me that I judge myself, that I want to go to another level, you'll just have to judge me that way. Because I plead guilty. I want to go to another level. Pastor's coming. Don't ever forget this sermon. Next time you read Psalm 37, let that staircase image come out of your mind. Say, God, I want to achieve what you want me to achieve. I want to be what you want me to be. Pastor's coming, Brother Brad.